Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, July 12th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Manage Your Time, Don't Let It Manage You, with my guest, Regina Lark, professional organizer. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners, because you have made time in your schedule to join us, and I really appreciate that. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. Now, if you're on the phone lines, you just need to press a 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're over in the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens, and if that should happen to you, don't hesitate to just hang up and dial in again at 347-539-5700, or if you're online on the chat room, you just go offline and come back on. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes over on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it. On the show page, you can do that. And by the way, the show page is blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. Over on the show page, there's a way for you to follow me on Twitter. You can become a fan over on Facebook, and most important, you can add yourself as a friend of my show. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. That's the starting point for finding out about all the various programs that I have available that will help you choose happiness for your life. Now, while you're on that page, the website, coloryourlifehappy.com, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter and also take a visit over to my blog. And you will also see there on that website page how you can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and, you know, those social media sites. Now, I want to tell you about something new I have going on. If you're thinking of starting a business and you're not quite sure where to start, or maybe you already have a business and you need tips on how to keep it going, how to make a success, I want to encourage you to erase all doubt and move forward with confidence. And the way you're going to do that is to get a hold of this 4-part audio CD series that 3 other entrepreneurs and I created. In this series, we tell you what you need to know right from the start to create a thriving small business. The 4 parts are, part 1, it's from idea to plan. This is where we talk about where great ideas come from. Part 2, Plan to Prosper, is where we talk about how entrepreneurs think differently than hobbyists. Part 3, Systems to Success, and here you will learn about the tasks you must complete to succeed, including time management and organization skills, which is what we're going to talk about on the radio today. And part 4, Selling to Sales, mistakes to avoid in selling your products and services. You can get all of this solid guidance and advice to put you on the path to success over at my website, florabrown.com/know-from-the-start, K-N-O-W, know from the start. Again, that site is www.florabrown.com/know-from-the-start. You can get more details. Oh, also there, you can hear a little excerpt from each one of the 4 CDs before you buy, okay? All right, so be sure to go over there and take a look. Okay, one more announcement. If you are local, that means you live in Orange County or Greater Los Angeles County, and you're ready to come out of hiding and live your life to its fullest, I encourage you to join my interactive meetup group. We meet face-to-face every second and fourth Thursdays here in Orange County at 6 p.m. Our next meeting is June 24th. In this meeting, we talk about our goals, we encourage each other, and help each other realize the dreams that we have in our heads and move them out into reality. You can get the details about this meetup over on my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. Now let's talk about the radio show today. Now, Color Your Life Happy happens to be the name of the radio show also. And here we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Now, to get at that, each week I invite guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, just all of those things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, I'm very honored to welcome back my guest, Regina Lark. Hi, Regina.
Hey, Flora. Good to talk with you today.
Thank you. Regina was a guest once before, and we just could not get through everything we needed to talk about. Last time, she talked about decluttering, and, of course, that's a long topic that could go on and on. But today, we thought we'd tackle another part of it. We're going to be talking about time management in a minute. But first, Regina, I want to tell the listeners a little bit about you, okay?
Sure.
Regina Lark is a professional organizer based in Los Angeles. She believes in the holistic approach to decluttering and organizing your home, your workspace, and your life. Clutter, as you may know, can often lead to stress, and stress can sometimes leave us immobile to change our environment. Regina finds that many people with clutter don't know where or how to begin dealing with it. That's where she comes in. She will offer tips and strategies to help you clear your path and remain clutter-free. Regina holds a PhD in history from the University of Southern California. Yay, Trojans! And she's on the board of directors of the Los Angeles chapter of the National Association of Professional Organizers. Welcome back, Regina.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, and I'm delighted to have you here because, again, time management is an important part of not only decluttering, it's an important part of our lives. I don't know how you can exactly succeed without getting control of your life. So tell us the secret. Is there a secret behind time management?
You know, that's a really good question. It's not a secret. What I would encourage your listeners to do is start thinking about their relationship to time. When they look at the face of a clock, what do they see?
Mm-hmm.
Do they see that they're running out of it? Or do they see they have all the time in the world?
Oh.
And what is your relationship to your 24-hour day?
Mm-hmm.
What is the, when you look at the calendar and the clock, do you see the day, the week, or the month? And how you respond to these questions, you know, will be very informative of how you can start creating better ways to work with time. I think it's a misnomer. We can't manage time,
mm-hmm.
but we can manage how we work with time. Because time is moving forward. It's just not, regardless of what you're doing, time will not stop, so you can't manage it, but you can manage how you respond to it. So I think if there was the first thing I would say would be really look at your relationship to the clock and the calendar and see what kind of questions you can come up with from there.
Huh. When you were saying that, you know, it made me think about the fact that the calendar and the clock are man-made things that at one point in our history, somewhere back in time, we didn't have.
Yeah.
So somewhere back in history, we had the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, you know, the same thing about how those people felt. I suppose they gauged their time by where the sun was in the sky at the
sure.
time of day, high in the sky or headed towards sundown. So you're saying that the way we view our time is very important. When you were talking, I was also thinking about how I go out and select. I love a pocket calendar. Even though I have a BlackBerry and all these things, I still like that, you know, old school calendar
uh-huh.
in my purse.
Uh-huh.
But I, for whatever reason, I just love the month to, at a glance one. Now,
I am right there with you.
Some people, I mean, they have all these different configurations, and it's
mm-hmm.
just weird
mm-hmm.
how, and I get gifts from people for, you
mm-hmm.
know, the daily ones and the all the,
right.
I just can't function with those others. It has to be a month at a glance so I can open and see my whole month. And, of course, you know, I cannot write every little thing in each of those slots, but at least I can write, you know, a keyword of what I'm supposed to do, and then I can put the details somewhere. But I just have to see that whole month at a time.
Right. I do, too. Well, I'm the same way. I'm a, you know, and that's another way when we talk about time, you know, what? Are you a visual person? And it sounds like you are. I am,
mm-hmm.
too. I need the month at a glance. I still use a day timer.
Yes. Yeah.
For any other reason, you know, I have a day timer, and the only thing I use in it is a calendar because
mm-hmm.
it's a month
mm-hmm.
at a glance calendar. And the reason right. why I use that particular book, you know, it's like six ring binder.
Right,
just
right, right.
It's lots of pockets in it.
Right, right. I like
you
that
know?
Too.
I
own one of those.
You know, and I can, yeah, and I can put business cards and pens and things like that.
Right.
But wherever I go, I take my month at a glance day timer, and I also bring with me a spiral notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of these work in tandem with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you how. My spiral notebook I use for every single note that I take, from notes that I take at minute at meetings to my endless to-do list. It just serves me, you know, my, you know, it's where I'll jot down, you know, later on, maybe in a couple of months, I need to do this one thing. And
mm-hmm.
everything goes into the spiral notebook. And
mm-hmm.
one way I manage my days is everything goes in this notebook. And so what happens is I have my calendar where I have a meeting set, like today. You know, I had on my calendar that you and I were going to be having this conversation. Well,
right.
as we're talking, I'm jotting down notes that I'd like to for sure bring up as we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a month or so, I may need to reference that. So the first thing I'm going to do is look at my calendar for when we had this interview.
Right.
And then
right.
I'll go right to my spiral notebook because I'll have the page dated.
Right. Okay.
And
okay.
one way I manage this is I'm not going all over my desk looking for things, looking for papers.
Right. For
notes
paper.
That I took. Everything is compact in this one little notebook.
Now, when you say little notebook, are you talking like about a 4-inch one, or are you talking the full-blown size, the 8.5 by 11?
It's the one down from that. It's not 8.5 by 11.
Okay,
it's I think a 3 by 5. Yeah.
Oh, the 3. Okay.
4.5. It's not that small. It's probably 4.5 by 3
four
or something
six.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or something like
four
that.
4 by 6. Yeah.
I'm asking because it's interesting how, you know, everybody who uses some kind of organizational system may use a different thing. But it
yes.
sounds like the key thing is to have a way, number one, to keep track of your appointments, which is why I like the month at a glance. But then you need something in addition. In your case, you do the spiral notebook. I, for whatever reason, lately I've gotten into loving the yellow legal pads. And I just love keeping my to-do list and my notes on those. The problem, of course, is you've got to figure out how to file those or transfer that information because it's not as easy to keep track of as your spiral notebook is. But
I was just working with a client the other day, and her desk was filled with legal yellow pads, and all the pages were flipped back to their last. And the reason why I don't like those, Flora, is
uh-huh.
it's a time waster to flip back.
Right, and find
the spiral notebook. you're writing on both sides of the pages, and you're dating. You know, I date the page every now and again, every few days, whatever. I'll put the today's date on the top of the page.
Mm-hmm.
These are much easier to store. You flip mm-hmm. them open. You can quickly, it's like going through the pages of a book. The yellow notepads, I think, don't work for a lot of people. It's the first thing we grab because they're usually in every office.
Right, right.
But I'm working with all of my clients. I swear, I go into a, you know, I go back to a client and there's her spiral notebook right on the desk.
Right.
It also eliminates the need for Post-its.
Mm-hmm.
I can take business cards on the pages when I'm out networking and if somebody I want to follow up with right away.
Yes.
And so it keeps the desk clutter-free.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have on my desk is a file rack with my little folders and then this spiral notebook. But
mm-hmm. okay.
these are all ways to keep track of your things. And if you keep track of your things, your dates, your meetings, your appointments, you are able to deal with your time issues again
mm-hmm.
or in a better way.
So each person then needs to find which thing works best for them. And I do agree with you that the spiral notebook is much more efficient, especially if you do the way you do, and that is date it. Even if you don't date every single page, you date it and have your notes from that day. And do you yours has a combination of things, or do you have notebooks for different categories, like personal
everything.
Business?
Yeah,
I do too.
Notebook every 4 months.
Yeah, okay. Everything is there. Because trying to categorize as you go, to me, is maddening, and I can't do that as I go. So I just have it'll be a mixture of things, but
right.
it'll be, like you say, on that date, and you'll be able to go back. Let me ask you about how do people manage to get everything done in a single day? I guess it starts with organizing your month and your week and knowing what's coming up. But eventually you have then a given day. So how do most people manage to get everything done in a single day?
Well, one good tip for that is, and we've got a few categories of people that would be likely to listen to your show. People who are home-based businesses, people who work for somebody else, and they have not necessarily a time clock, but they have a very definite beginning and ending time of their day. And the folks who work at home, you know, some are running a part-time home-based business, so they do their work at night, and they have a day job. So it's a challenge to come up with a single answer. But so let me speak in general terms to try to meet all of these categories of employed people, and you know, retirees. If they have, you know, a lot of things going on in their life. What I do generally is at the very end of my day, just before, now I run a home-based business, so I'm constantly working. But at some point of my day, I do have to stop, and it's usually very late at night. On my spiral notebook, I put the date of the next day, and it's the July 12th to do. And I list everything I want to get done, the people I need to call, the meetings and the appointments I have. I just kind of bullet it all so that when I'm up in the morning, I do not turn on my email and I'm going to, you know, make a big deal out of this. Look at your email first thing in the morning. You will get sidetracked. You will get waylaid. My first thing is I look at my list. And what do I have to, you know, what are the things that I should really take care of before I even turn on my computer? What can I do before that? Is there a phone call I can make? I'll write the phone number, even though it's in my computer.
Right.
I will write the phone number on the spiral notebook. Because once you flip that thing on and you're in front of it, you're engaged.
That's true.
And everything falls to the side. So Getting your day ready the night before. You remember when we were kids, my mom used to make me get my clothes ready the night before.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
That's right. Even your homework by the front door.
Yes, yes.
Whatever you had to carry by the front door.
Yes. It's that same concept. Get ready the night before so that your day begins with knowledge about exactly what you have to do.
Okay.
When people have desk jobs, I suggest to them that they end their work day 15 to 30 minutes before they are ready to walk out of the office.
Okay.
And what this does is, and to do the same thing, to get their spiral notebook, write out what's going on the next day. They're not stealing time, if you could steal time, from the company.
Right.
Because they're managing themselves in such a way that they'll be their most productive as soon as they walk in the door of their office.
Right, okay.
You know, if they're not answering work phones from home and if they're not checking work email from home, then finish their day on the job as if they were at home. Do not answer that phone. And I know this, I've had desk jobs. It's very tempting to pick up. This will just take a minute. I know who it is, right?
Right.
But to stop, don't do that.
Okay.
Take care of yourself. Take care of your business. You know, take care of the work, and you will be fresh by the end of the day. Put your materials away. Use that time to file the papers that you didn't get to during the day because you're so slammed with work. Take that 30 to 45 minutes at the very end of your work day, just before you're ready to walk out the door, and get ready for tomorrow.
Okay.
And you will be amazed by how that will start working into a better way to keep track of what's going on each day.
That gets me to the idea of priorities, because here you have, you make your list, you end your day by making your list for the next day, so you have this list of things, and then when you start your next day, obviously you're going to have some things that are more urgent or important than others. So
right.
what is the best strategy for keeping things in priority?
Okay. Well, there are different types of priority. One is urgent.
Mm-hmm.
One is urgent, act now. One is important, act soon. One is important, but I don't need to do it this week, but I need to get it together at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at priorities, whatever works, you can create a number system, right? Number one being most important, most urgent, got to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Five can be, this will be fun someday when I can get to it. Okay? But create,
right.
You know, find a way to, and everybody, you know, like we said at the beginning of this show, everybody just has very different ways of learning, and you're visual, you're textual, however you take in information.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of people I work with, just creating a simple number system, one being urgent, act now, five being I can deal with this way later.
Mm-hmm.
So each thing that comes into your path that you need to deal with in terms of when and how you're going to get to it, you know, write it down and put a number next to it. This is a 2, this is a 3, however you're deciding your system.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down and then look at all the things, like add it up. How much time will it take you to get through this list of priorities?
Mm-hmm.
Decide what, if you have 5 ones, everything's urgent, and some days it feels that way.
Yeah.
You have to make a decision about what to do.
Hmm.
And then execute a plan to do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking even within those ones, you know, those urgents, you can prioritize, because obviously something is more urgent than the other. So I'm thinking you could even prioritize within that if you have a list of them. And chances are you might have to reevaluate and reassess. Are those
Absolutely.
All really ones?
Absolutely. It's, you know, you got to be flexible.
Yeah, yeah.
Writing things down helps a lot. I learned this a long time ago. When you've got a very, very busy life, if you don't get it on paper, it just stays all crumbled and jumbled up in your head.
Right, right, right.
You know, if you're a visual person, seeing everything on paper, it takes the anxiety away.
Mm-hmm.
It may create anxiety because you just keep adding more and more things to the paper. But if you're able to, you know, start in, you know, create your number system. Once you have created your number system, look at the list again and put all the ones together and the twos,
mm-hmm.
and begin to make plans for which you're going to do. You may have something urgent, and you make that phone call that you have to make,
mm-hmm.
And so you may leave a message. That person may not answer the phone. So go to another one or go to a two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is important. I have to renew my auto insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm within the deadline, and so it's not urgent. It's not like if I don't do it by midnight tonight, I will lose my insurance.
Right.
But, you know, so start looking at the number system in ways that you can create, like you said, your own priority system within each numbered category.
So with the things that are in that important and urgent category, you're suggesting then to look at to prioritize them and then start dealing with those. Obviously, if they really are important and urgent, well, let's say very urgent, then those are things you probably need to deal with during that day or
sure.
that two-day period or whatever. And it sounds sure. like those need to come first. The catch is, for me, and I'm sure this is true with other people, is that many of the things we have to do have parts to them or get delayed.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I had a family reunion this weekend, and before leaving on Friday for my reunion, I had an important call that I needed to make, and I wanted to get an answer and resolution to it that morning so I could take care of it or at least know what I needed to do when I returned. Well, I ended up not getting a resolution, not even getting to the person that I needed to talk to. I ended up leaving voicemail, and I haven't gotten a call back. So it's kind of those things that drag on for a couple of days that are the toughest, because now today I did not follow up on this yet because I know that it might be a long call or
right.
a lot of steps. So I have to kind
right.
of time
right.
when I'm going to follow up on it so that hopefully
right.
next time I can get it resolved. So I think that probably is a challenge everybody faces. It's probably why that list is very important, so you can know what steps you took, but that you still have that thing
yes.
on your list to resolve.
Right.
Yes.
And that's a very good point. And that's what's so handy about the spiral notebook, because
mm-hmm.
everything I need to do lands on a page of the spiral notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make that call on Friday. I put a note next to it.
Mm-hmm.
LM, left message on this date at this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my spiral notebook will go through the weekend with me, and I will be writing in it. I mean, I don't go anywhere without this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Monday, I go right back to the page. So I'll look to see what's not crossed out.
Right, right, right.
Right? And if it's not crossed out, I will reengage with it at that moment. I'll say, oh, I still haven't heard back from this person. I've got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If a couple of more days go by, and I'm constantly flipping through my notebook, I'm constantly looking
right.
for what did I miss, who didn't I call, you know, have I dropped any balls, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
and then if I still haven't connected with that person that I called on Friday, I will rewrite it in the pages after that. Do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
So if I see on Wednesday that I never connected Friday, I'll take all the Friday information from that call, and I'll put it on the Wednesday page. I kind of move it up.
Right, right.
And I really...
That's something a lot of people suggest doing, too, is moving this unfinished stuff from today's list, for example, to tomorrow, anything that was unfinished.
Right.
Just keeping that list going, moving forward.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the things that might be on the list. They're not urgent, but they keep appearing on your list every day or every couple of days, and somehow or another they still aren't getting done. What do you suggest about those things? Obviously, they're not urgent.
Right.
But what do you suggest?
I write it down.
You keep writing it
down. Make a decision. Is it? I can relate this to sometimes I'll see an email about a teleclass I want to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep it on my inbox. I really don't have a whole lot in my inbox, but I'll keep it in my inbox. And then the next announcement reminder will come in. So
mm-hmm.
I'll, delete the first one and I'll, keep that second one.
Right.
And then the teleclass happens and I don't join it, but I figure, okay, well, I know they do this next month. At one point, I have to fish or cut bait.
That's right.
At some point, I have to make a decision, is this really something I'm going to do?
Right.
Sometimes, if I'm carrying it out like that, sometimes it'll lose its priority, or it'll lose its sense of this is something that can help me. I may have come across something else that will work just as well, whatever it is. So if you're still dragging the same thing over and over, evaluate it. And if you're at the point where it's like, okay, am I really going to do this?
Evidently, I'm not going to do this.
Right. So give it one more shot. Put it on your calendar. I'm going to do this day. And if that day passes, let it go.
Right.
It's just, you've got to just let it go.
Well, you know what I recommend to people regarding those kinds of things like the never-ending teleseminar invitations?
Mm-hmm.
When I get those in my email, if it sounds like something I think I want to do, I just go ahead and sign up for it. I'm going to get that email asking me to confirm. I hit confirm, and then I cut and paste that into my calendar on my computer. But I don't put it on my paper one because, number one, I'm not even sure that by that date that I'm going to be interested in attending. And by putting it in my Google Calendar, it will pop up and let it remind me. But also, when you sign up for it, like you just said, the organizers, thank God for the modern technology, they're going to send you a reminder. And at that point,
they do a great job of that.
They do a great, and they can either, you can either say, oh, that's right, that I want to go to that seminar this afternoon or tomorrow online.
Right.
And at that point, you can go or not. But here's the really great thing about those seminars online. Even if you don't make the seminar, the fact that you signed up for it, you will get a copy of the audio recording.
Right, right. You're right. So, these are really, really good points.
So I say, I see something. It sounds interesting. I'm not even sure I'm available. I sign up anyway. And we're talking about free teleseminars. Then you're done. You don't have to really put it on your list to remember because you're going to get the reminders and all that, and it's not on your urgent list. Now, obviously, if it's a very urgent one, one that you definitely don't want to miss, then that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I get a nonstop flow of those things. Now, what is the good way to keep track of the things I need to do and plan for, especially talking into the future? So not a to-do list for today, but into the future. What's the best way to kind of plan for that? Because obviously if I'm going to do something 6 months out, I have to do some planning at some point for it, but how does that work with my daily to-do list type thing?
What would be an example of, like your family reunion?
My family reunion, we started. We do it every 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I returned from the 2008 reunion, the California committee had the assignment to plan the 2010. Well, obviously, we could not start sending out, even after we had our initial meetings, we knew we couldn't start sending information out in the end of 2008 because to our family. Because you know what was going to happen to that information, right?
Yes, I do.
Nothing. And even in 2009. So when you're planning something like that, I mean, first of all, of course, we had to plan it. But then the second thing is once we had the plan done, which we pretty much had our location and stuff done a year ago. We knew the menu. We knew the location. But even so, you know, we were kind of hesitant to start telling family about it too early.
Right.
Because you want, I mean, obviously it's good to tell them early, but you know you're going to have to repeat it many times.
So all you need to tell them initially is save the date.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Just put the date on your calendar. Yes, you're putting something on your calendar a year out.
Okay.
But, you know, at some point, you know, starting today, you are going to start getting closer to that date.
Right.
So get the date on the calendar. And that's just to inform the people that are going to be involved in whatever it is that you're planning that's on your calendar.
Right. And also when there's money involved, you've got, I think it's fair to give people a year notice if possible
about
the money so they can plan their lives.
Of course.
But also when you're a committee and or family, you're planning a vacation, whatever, you've got to plan that money out and stagger those payments or whatever.
Yes.
That's kind of stuff that you really need a calendar for.
Yes. and you're making a very good point because on the so there's two people involved here. There's somebody giving information and then someone receiving information.
Mm-hmm.
Person receiving information, in terms of that they've got to plan ahead for this particular event.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that they might want to do is look at, you know, the year,
mm-hmm.
you know, so from July 12, 2010 to July 12, 2011, they know that there's going to be the family reunion on July 12, 2011, and it should cost approximately $1,000. Between airfare, hotel, whatever it is.
Right, right.
And they look at their calendar, and they can decide which paychecks they're going to put aside $50.
Right, right.
You know, however they need to get ready for that. Do we have to arrange dog sitting or whatever
That's right.
You know, just to, they have, you know, we all have, who's ever doing the giving, the planning, or the receiving, the attending,
mm-hmm.
we all have to work backwards from our calendar.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I like that idea of working backwards. Yeah, that's important. Yeah.
I mean, and it makes sense, right? Because what's it going to take to have this event? You know, we're not just going to show up the day of.
Well,
so we got to book a room. Okay. Not everyone's going to just show up on the day of.
But what happens?
Like you've had some experience in this.
Yes. And here's what people have to realize, not just with my family reunion, but any kind of event that takes a year planning, they have to realize that, number one, the more you procrastinate and the closer to the date of whatever it is that you wait before you jump on board, the more it's going to cost you, number one.
Sure.
Number two, the less likely you're going to get all the benefits and the features of the event. For in our case, you didn't get a T-shirt if you had not planned, you know, had not paid by a certain date, period.
Right.
Because those things all have, you know, all the, and when you talk about planning something like this, it's not just the organizers and the recipients, but we have all these agencies that we are negotiating with who have their deadlines.
Exactly.
And all of that has to be taken into account. So I don't know how people who don't keep calendars and to-do lists, I don't know how they function. But
They're probably, a lot of them are probably disorganized. And, you know, it's I think a lot of it is how much do we value our time, our ability to participate. mm-hmm. in certain events. And, you know, a lot of it for me comes down to, you know, how much do I value what is going on in my life?
Right.
You know,
right.
And so I really, I you know, yes, okay, I'm a very well-organized person, but I also know that in order to get the maximum benefit or the maximum value for what's out there, I mean, I cannot stand paying for parking, and I cannot stand paying the extra amount at the door. It's almost a moral issue for me. Because of that, when I see something, like I'm going to a Women's Network breakfast on Friday morning. Now, mm-hmm. it's $25 if I pay online by today,
mm-hmm.
or it's $30 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 minutes that it will take for me to pay for that event on PayPal
mm-hmm.
is infinitely more valuable to me than than forking out that extra $5.
Yeah. And you get at another point, I think, that trips many people up, at least in my experience, is they procrastinate in making a decision. They're so indecisive that,
yes.
for whatever reason, they cannot decide if they really, really, really want to go to this event on Friday, for example. And that's
right.
what keeps them from paying for it in advance. They keep hemming and hawing and hemming and hawing. And those are the people that end up paying that extra $5 and paying at the door because they could not make up their minds until Friday morning that they were going.
Yeah.
And
right.
so I don't know what category that falls under, but that's part of the problem that some people have with taking action early and quickly.
Well, and you bring up a good point, and it kind of speaks to what we discussed last time, you know, you and I were on the phone together,
mm-hmm.
is it's delaying a decision, whether it be putting something away back to its rightful home,
mm-hmm.
right, or
yes.
taking action right then to sign up for an event or pay for it before you incur the late charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. It is procrastination. It's
mm-hmm.
delaying the decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, it has this really interesting domino effect.
It just
trickles.
It does.
You know, I would imagine that the person who consistently is paying at the door
mm-hmm.
when they had the notice in their email box a month prior,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that they also have clutter.
Oh, yeah.
In their desk, in their
yeah.
closets, in their
yeah.
car.
Yeah.
It's you know, making a decision right then and there, the impact of it is kind of one of those essential laws of nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's you make the decision, you don't waffle.
Yes.
You're clear about it, you're concise about it, you are quick, you're definite.
And you know what? That same person also misses things.
Yes.
You know? They miss the boat many times.
They do.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, they will.
They do.
I know. And it's true. You know, if you are able to, you know, it's dealing with email.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that some people do not get back to me quickly with email, it's because they've got so much of it.
Yes, yes.
You know, they turn on their computer, their inbox has 10 to 100 messages.
Ooh.
And they're not looking, they're not making a decision, they're putting it aside. I'll deal with that later.
Right, right.
You know, instead of organizing their email so that they have file folders, you know, if they're not using Outlook, you know, whatever email organization tool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're right. All of this is interrelated.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
How you deal with time, how you deal with your things, I think are very connected.
And I want to say something, too, about the impact that this has on your relationships and your friendships. because I have some friends who are such procrastinators. They're always running late. They can't make decisions early on. And these are people that I had to eventually decide whether I was even going to go places with them or not. And,
right.
You know, it makes a big impact. And what has happened, I have at least two friends I can remember from the past. We're not close friends anymore because you make a date to go somewhere and you show up and you're supposed to meet in front of the theater or whatever it is, and they're going to be late. And I'm
right.
not going to miss the start of the show because of
right.
them. So
right.
it gets to the point. And some of these people actually get upset and say, I can't believe you didn't wait for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, excuse me.
I can't believe you were so late.
Yeah, I can't believe that you thought I should wait for you and miss the start of
right.
the play, the show, the whatever. And then what happens is eventually I tell them, look, you're welcome to attend this performance, but I am not going to wait or try to coordinate with you because obviously
right.
you don't respect the start of whatever it is. And trying to plan something with somebody like that is maddening. Of course, they get away with it because they have some friends who put up with it.
Right.
And I'm not going to put up with that when I'm trying to get to an event because the event's important to me. If it's not important to me, I wouldn't go.
Right. Right. And it says a lot about respect that they have for themselves and for you.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, it's pretty amazing how, really, I think every aspect of our life is intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at when I work with clients who have a lot of clutter, it
mm-hmm.
is rare that they will have one particular area of their place
mm-hmm.
that has the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the rest of their house is pristine and they've got a really messy, disorganized desk,
mm-hmm.
they may also be bad at managing their time.
Yes.
You know, these things are intertwined with each other. And,
oh, yeah.
It's important to recognize that. We can't compartmentalize our day in such a way or our relationships.
No, it's all intertwined. So we've run to the end of our show today.
Not
talking
again.
About time. Not again. But that's okay because I just want to recap some important things you said. And I you've convinced me to get another Spiral Notebook. And actually, I have had Spiral Notebooks at various stages along the way, small ones, larger ones. And for whatever reason, I got onto this yellow legal pad thing. And, of course, you know, if you buy them from a warehouse, wholesale store,
yes.
You get 12 in a pack.
Yes.
And now I'm looking right now at my desk with a stack of yellow pads. So you've convinced me I need to go back to the spiral. But to
Yay.
Recap what you said today is we have to take a look at our relationship to the clock and the calendar and look
mm-hmm.
at how we view time.
Mm-hmm.
I also got an important point, which we should remember from childhood if we had the kind of parents you and I had, and that is to plan your next day the night before. And the other thing is very important is when you start your new day, to avoid email and answering the phone until you tackle that to-do list, start that to-do
mm-hmm.
list and see what you need to do before you get into email. That's very
mm-hmm.
important for me to know about.
Good recap. Well done.
Oh, one other thing. I want to make a point about this. Writing things down gets things done. When I taught time management in college, some of my students really resisted making a to-do list or creating schedules because they believed that it would restrict them and hamper them from having any spontaneity and fun in their lives. I finally
uh-huh.
figured out that that's why they resisted it. And
mm-hmm.
I worked at convincing them that just the opposite is true. When you write it
yeah.
down, you have a schedule, and you want to do something spontaneous and unplanned, you can do it because now you see what you have to do and you can work
yes.
your spontaneity
right.
in between. But these are some...
It's not written in stone. It can
be
fluid and flexible.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you've given us some things to think about. Oh, I know you've given me a renewed interest in keeping better organized with my desk. I'm not going to even tell you how much email I have in my email box, but I do open it every single, well, it's open almost all day, and I do respond to the ones that are most urgent, and then you have to ask, what are all those others then that you have to say? But I subscribe to a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of us fall into that habit. But thank you so much, especially thank you for emphasizing there is no secret behind time management and that we manage ourselves, not our time.
Yes. Well, it's so fun talking with you. You're a smart woman.
Do you have any closing words you want to say? Any closing parting words?
Just get to know yourself better time-wise. And once you figure out your relationship to the clock and the calendar, you'll probably have really good success in accomplishing everything you want to accomplish in your day and in your life.
Good point. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Right.
I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. Please join me again next week, Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's going to be the 19th, and we're going to have another great show for you. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.